You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as a family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you all this morning. You know, sometimes it's good to just go home. During worship with you all, it was so good, just like being home. For those of you who don't know us, we are Chris and Patty White, and we've been serving in NTC Ogdensburg for the past 3.5 years and have recently become the community pastors there. Yeah. But before all that, we were here, probably when I was 15-ish, and probably the same for you. Our family started coming here. And so we got to grow up here in this church, and then we got married, and then we had our 5 kids, got to raise them here. And now we have almost 13 grandkids. Not today, Gabby, but 13 grandkids. And they all live within 3 minutes of our home. So we are extremely blessed to have our family all around us. And it's just really fun to even watch our kids serving God in this house and then raising our grandchildren to do the same. And we just serve such a faithful God. For the last 3 weeks, we have been just really poured into our marriages, right? They've been awesome messages. And marriage can be very difficult, so we really needed all the reminders. We needed all those reminders, all that encouragement, because marriage is a gift from God, but it can be difficult. We've been married for what, 32 years now?
Just under.
And we are best friends. Like, every marriage looks different, but we actually
like... It's actually true. She's not really making that up.
I am or I'm not?
No, you're not.
We actually like to hang out with each other. We communicate...
Most of the time.
Yes. We communicate with each other. I make him play games. He makes me watch, like, Dear Camera videos. And we each pretend we like those things. And sometimes, you know, we argue and fight, obviously, but our hearts are knit together. And there's just something that God has put in the foundation of our marriage that we want to talk to singles today, because...
Is it acceptable to ask how many singles are in the room?
Raise your hand.
Okay, put your hands up. I'm going to do it anyway. Hold them up there just for a second. Let everybody see. No, I'm just kidding. That was I'm sorry. That was not okay. So there's a number of single folks in the room.
Yes. And we are extremely excited to speak to you guys, because it was in our... We tell you a little bit about our marriage only because it was God using our single years to prepare us for all that he had for us. And singleness can get a bad rap. So we'll go ahead and pray and then continue. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much just for this opportunity to focus on our singles, Lord God. And we just ask you to go before us, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, Father, and just speak whatever you want to say to each one of us today. And we thank you for being here, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So we're going to start by, well, I guess we would just say, too, people who are married maybe don't check out, because there's definitely something here for everybody. But we wanted to start by sharing a little bit about our single years. So as a teenager and young adult, I was pretty broken. Life is hard sometimes, and in my younger years, I had experienced some abuse that really negatively affected my identity. And so that led me to be looking for love in all the worst possible places. I
never been there before.
I was hanging out with a crowd that was in trouble all the time with the local police department, and my dad, hi dad, was a police officer in town. And so our family really struggled and went through some tough times. So I'm out there partying, and I'm sure it's looking like to everybody, like I'm just throwing my life away. I'm rebellious. I'm careless. And all those things are true. But there was something else going on inside of me, much deeper. And it was driving everything I was doing. I was actually desperately looking for God, and I just didn't know how to meet him. I didn't know how to get out of the pattern that I was in. I felt stuck, and I had been in and around church, and I had given my life in measure to God, but I had never grown. I had never let my roots go down, and I thought the missing ingredient was to find my Prince Charming. You know, and he was probably going to show up on a white horse. I don't know why I was looking in the bars for that, but he was probably going to show up on a white horse. And of course, he would complete me. And I would live happily ever after. And can you just hear the Disney music, you know, swelling in the background? The birds are singing.
That is a fantasy that is not real.
Yes. And sorry, turn page. But back
to you can keep hoping for it, though.
Back to reality, though. I am a 22-year-old single mom of two beautiful little girls. And again, I'm going to all the wrong places, doing all the wrong things, but I'm still wanting all the right things. It was truly just the cry of my heart. And I would go home night after night, you know, just crying. It's kind of like going to a dump and looking for fresh fruit. It's never going to happen. The way I was going about it, right? It sounds insane because it is. And insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting the same results. But that's what I was
different
stuck
results.
In.
Yes.
Am I okay?
No, you're beautiful.
Okay. I was deceived and I was blind. And I just want to take a minute and encourage all of you who are praying for family members. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Like, hold on to that, because I'm only here today because I had a praying mom.
Thanks, Nan.
Thanks, Nan. And she didn't just pray for me here and there. I would hear her every morning get up before she went to work, and she would be crying in the kitchen. That's where she had her quiet time. And she actually had my dad put a door on the kitchen because she was a loud prayer. But I would hear her through the walls, and she would be crying out to God and reading scripture and declaring it over her children. And so hang in there, family members. It only took 6 years, but I'm happy to say that God finally opened my eyes. And it happened in a moment. It was a very strange thing for how it happened with me. It was like I was in darkness, and then in a moment, he took blinders off my eyes, and I could see for the first time that my life would kind of be like the Groundhog Day movie with Bill Murray, but not a comedy, not funny at all. And it would be on repeat forever. So he showed me very clearly where I was taking, my own choices were taking my life and my two beautiful girls' lives. So if I didn't do something different. So up to this point, I had been a believer, and I had been coming to church, sometimes more regularly than others. Sometimes you wouldn't see me for months. And I believed in God, and I wanted him in my life. But again, I was stuck. But the Bible tells us that even demons believe. So coming to church and believing is not enough. It's just not enough. We will miss out on all the good stuff if we just limit it to that. Jesus is calling each one of us to be a follower, a disciple. He personally invites people to join him on this amazing journey. And the ones who became his disciples in the Bible, the ones who said yes, they left everything. I mean, absolutely everything. And that's scary, and that's radical. But it's the greatest decision you will ever make in your entire lives. And they left everything, and then they gave him complete control of their lives. They let him lead them. And so I knew he was calling me. And so in this moment where I can finally see where my life is headed, I lay down, surrender my life. And that's obviously not even a one-time decision. And so my single year started out rough because I was doing things my way, and he was just waiting for me to surrender. But when I did, thus began the greatest adventure I've ever been on, and one that I still can't get enough of.
God is good. It was incredible this morning to be here with you guys worshiping, and this is not another introduction, so you don't have to worry about that. It was just powerful to be in this place with all of you worshiping God. I was speaking with Doug Von Borstel this morning while you guys were practicing worship, Gabe, and I said, the bench here is so deep. Like, when I look around the room, there, like, if I had a team, and I'm, say I'm God, which I certainly am not, and I'm looking at this congregation, I'm thinking, wow, my spirit has blessed so many people here, and they've made decisions on how they'll live. They said, I'll choose this day who I'll serve. And I'm way off script, probably gonna get shot, but it's okay. How many years ago did Tom go to Williamsburg? 1994, thank you, Justin. So this is just a brief history lesson. 1994, Tom Wells goes to Williamsburg, Virginia. A bunch of people that are, well, several people that are in this room even now said yes and went and helped plant that. And the people that were here supported it both financially and in prayer and in a bunch of other ways. So there's now, you're part of that history. There's now a church in Williamsburg, Virginia. Out of that church became a church in Newport News, Virginia. In Washington, D.C., there is another church that came from that original church plant. Why am I saying all this? Because those people surrendered their lives. Part of our title is Single and Surrendered. Well, this is a surrendered piece. They surrendered their lives early on, and now churches are planted all over the country. We're in Burlington, Vermont, Cornwall, Ontario, Malone, New York, Plattsburgh, New York. We help with Saranac Lake, New York. What have I forgotten, Jess? Augsburg. Yeah, that's where we are. I didn't forget. No, we love Augsburg. And we're headed to Potsdam. So think about this. Look around you. Will you say yes? You don't have to go to Potsdam. We need you here too. We need you in Augsburg. But will you say yes? Will you surrender your life? It's not just believing, it's surrendering. Okay, my testimony. 14 years old, my brother drowns. My parents, shortly after that, get separated. Devastation. Everything I knew to be safe and family had just blown up. So God. Somewhere in there, God showed up. Irma Ramsdale. I don't know, there's some Ramsdales in the room here. Irma Ramsdale showed up at my house. Chris, come to church with us. We're having a youth event. Wow. I learned at that event that Jesus Christ died for me and that he could forgive my sins. That moment was the beginning of some surrender. And it was a big moment. So I got saved, started living in a way that I believe Jesus wanted me to, was so amazed that I would be invited into this family of God. They allowed me to touch things that were holy. I passed out communion and collected people's money, and I thought, wow, I'm being allowed, invited into a place that's holy. And I didn't feel holy at that point, right? Like, I guess I still don't feel too holy, but Jesus has still got some work to do. So for over a year, I lived in a way that separated myself from a lot of my friends. I wasn't partying. I wasn't dating anybody. I was single. And as a little bit of time went on, I thought, wow, I used to be pretty cool, or so I thought. And I couldn't deal with the rejection, actually, that I had kind of separated myself from my friends. So I said, well, I'll drive people to parties, or I'll bring them home if they're too drunk, and I'll even talk to them about Jesus while I'm there. So I lied to myself, and that didn't last very long, as you may have guessed. Before long, I was partying again and not living in a way that was acceptable to God. The thing that was interesting was the Spirit of God was in me. I had accepted Jesus, and people will say that God doesn't torment you. I'm not 100% sure that's true. And he probably doesn't torment you, but I felt tormented because I knew how to live, and I was choosing to live in a different way. And so it was rough. Pastor Tom Wells stood probably back here somewhere, because this outer piece didn't exist back then. But Pastor Tom Wells stood here on this platform and preached a message one day. I had the privilege of sitting out here and listening to him preach. He said, how long will God tolerate your sin? And it felt like the Holy Spirit was talking directly to me. How long will he tolerate your choices and your behavior to live however you want and violate your own conscience and violate what Jesus had done for you? So I made a choice that day. I can't continue to live like this. Shortly after that, is it your turn? Awesome.
It's our turn. So here we are, both single and finally surrendered to Jesus. And we are hungry. We are wanting more of him. And it was the first time in my life that I was not preoccupied with the lie that I had to find somebody to complete me, right? The truth is, I needed to learn how much God loved me. And I needed to learn who I was, right, and understand my identity in him. I needed to become healed from all the hurts in my heart and the ungodly beliefs and the lies the enemy had really convinced me of. And I knew God had a lot of work to do in me. And some obvious sin patterns that were very obvious to me, and some others weren't, and that he was going to have to show me. Like I said, healing, ungodly beliefs. So all these things I knew, I'm kind of a mess. God's going to have to work on me for a long time. And so I put dating kind of on the back shelf. And I just allowed it to go out of sight and even collect dust. Because I was convinced now that I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And there was no way I was going to do it right. So I wanted him to lead me in that, and I was learning that I needed to have godly counsel in my life. I needed to let others around me have a part in that for me. Listen to leaders, bring to them my thoughts and ideas, and hey, what do you think of this? And let them help shape me. So right now, it was just time for me, my singleness was time for me to focus on my relationship with Jesus and to just grow in everything he has for me. So 1 Corinthians 7:32 through 35, and we love this in the message. I want you to live as free of complications as possible When you're unmarried, you're free to concentrate on simply pleasing the master. Marriage involves you in all the nuts and bolts of domestic life and in wanting to please your spouse, leading to so many more demands on your attention. The time and energy that married people spend on caring for and nurturing each other, the unmarried can spend in becoming whole and holy instruments of God. Paul's saying, I'm just trying to be helpful and make it as easy as possible for you not to make things harder. All I want is for you to be able to develop a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the master without a lot of distractions.
So, it doesn't mean it's not good to be married. That's not what Paul's saying. We love being married. But there's an opportunity. Will we look at singles as an opportunity? Right. So singles, it's important in this process to surround yourself with the right people, not the wrong people. Not people that are going to drag you down, but people that are going to encourage you and build your life. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Wow, that's a little harsh. But is it not true? The word of God isn't made to bother us. It's made to help us. It's created actually to give us opportunity to make choices that are good for our lives, not harmful. Patty and I each had been living a different, harmful way before we surrendered. And part of our surrendering was letting go and even cutting off old connections, which was something that I had failed at earlier on. Prior relationships and friendships that can prevent us from moving all the way forward with God. In order to receive something new and good, we have to let go of what we're holding on to. If we insist on this, there's no room there in my hand to receive anything. It's over. It's kind of hard. You can carry it in your elbow, but it's tough. So we have to actually lay down those things that keep us really away from where we should be, away from the people that we need to be with, and away from God's house, God's presence, and separate us. Luke 14:28, this is out of the NIV. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? It's the same way with how we handle our lives. When you look at the friend group that you're with, it may be necessary to make other plans.
Well, Jesus wants us to know that wise choices actually involve planning, right? We have to, if you don't, what's that saying? If you don't plan to succeed, what is it? If you don't plan to succeed, you're going to fail.
Yeah. If you fail to plan.
See, we failed to plan this part.
We planned a ton.
But the point with that scripture is really we have to plan. We've got to plan and think through the consequences of our actions because our actions have consequences.
That's fact.
And we had to unlearn, again, our old ways of decision-making based on our feelings and emotions, right? They will most often misguide us.
Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Another tough one. Bottom line there is, especially when you're single, our emotions sometimes take over, and we make decisions about our life based out of emotion and not wise counsel or the word of God. And it takes us to a spot where we end up in trouble. this is craziness, but it was an investment that we thought we needed to make. It was super important for me to be around God's people. Small group is an incredible way for that to happen. So we would literally, we lived in Winthrop. I would drive to Messina, pick up a babysitter. It was oftentimes Sarah. Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Thank you. We would pick Sarah up, bring her back to Winthrop. She would babysit. We would go to small group in Messina. Drive all the way back home, pick Sarah up, and bring her home, and then go back to Winthrop. So if you think about the math there, it's like, that's really not wise. But it is. If you will invest in the kingdom of God and in God's family, it will forever transform your lives. And it's not actually just about you. The impact that those choices have in your life will then impact this whole community. We're watching that happen because this church is growing amazingly. You guys are doing it right, and it's fun to watch. It's exciting to watch. So we were poor. We didn't have money, but we were willing to invest and spend money for gas. We didn't pay Sarah very much, but we still, sorry, Sarah, again, but we still were willing to invest. And when, you know, sometimes we hear that there's not an interest in being willing to lay down our lives and to sacrifice so that we can be a part of God's family. Don't let that be your story. Give everything you have. God is not slack. He will pour out over your lives an abundance in every way that will not have regret. Do you believe that? Yeah. Invest your life fully. Don't hold back. The money and time that you invest today will have eternal consequence both for yourself and for others. And it's not a bad investment. Connection, small group. Years ago, after that message that Tom Wells preached, he didn't say my name, but the Holy Spirit said my name. Are you going to keep living like that? How long are you going to keep living like that? Do you think that can last forever? About that same time when I had made a decision that I wasn't going to continue to live in the way that I was, Don Curry announced that he was going to have a young adults group. Who here was in that young adults group? Jess. We're getting older. You were almost there, Justin. There was a bunch of us. There was about 15 people in that small group, that young adults group. We were all single, and we were all, it's kind of like watching these young adults that are here now, that we were on fire for God, Peter and Dory. Yeah. It was pretty exciting. We would lay around Don Curry and Mary Curry's basement floor, living room floor. The Bible would be in the middle, and we'd be asking questions and studying God's word. And it was so powerful. It established a foundation in us that set the course for the rest of our lives. And I can't recommend strongly enough, especially to you singles, because you have an opportunity. You have a chance where, like that verse said, you're not in a relationship, so your time is more free. Take advantage of this time. Don't look at it as, is it time to go there?
No, I'm just helping.
Okay. I'm just curious if I'm in the wrong spot again. Perspective change. As singles, sometimes we feel like we're in a waiting pattern. I can't wait till I want. I'm not happy in this spot where I'm at. Could we possibly change our perspective and view this singleness, this season where you're alone, and draw on God and let God be your person? Let God be your one. Don't view it as, this is a waste of time and I'm angry because I don't have what I'm looking for. Don't allow this to be that. Find contentment in where you're at. Choose joy. It's not an emotion, actually. It's a choice. choose joy, and live in incredible abundance in this season that you find yourself in. Take advantage of it. Enjoy it. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. This season of singleness is an opportunity for you. The rain came down, streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus is our rock. The church is a piece of that. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Opportunity to build your life on the rock as a single person. What's that? Okay. Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The first part is pretty important there. Take delight in the Lord. Give this time, this season. Mm-hmm. Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do you see the repeated cycle? Give your life, and then God is going to pour into you incredibly. Another reason why it's beautiful, actually, to be single and have an opportunity to spend time getting to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And so Chris was talking about also choosing to be content. Philippians 4, 12 through 13. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, whether single or married. I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
Contentment doesn't mean that we settle, right? Like, so you're living in a posture as a single person where you're saying, I'm going to choose joy in this season. I'm going to actually be excited about this opportunity. That doesn't mean that we settle and it's just okay to be single forever, unless you choose that, and that's also beautiful. It means no matter where I find myself, I'm gonna press in and choose joy. I'm gonna look for opportunities to grow and serve and not get stuck. We don't wanna spend our time constantly dissatisfied with our season in life. We always wanna press towards the goal, which is Christ.
So, just to recap, we want to live surrendered, right? Single or not singled, we want to live surrendered. And that requires a daily laying down of our own desires and trusting God in obedience as he leads us. Number two, we want to be connected. Small groups are so important. They help us walk and grow and, you know, learn. We connect with people. That also requires letting go of maybe what's comfortable, letting go of fear. Maybe you've never been to a small group and it's scary. You don't wanna make yourself vulnerable. When we were living here, we were in a small group. Never ending small group. It was like 12 years. But we grew our families up together with each other, and we challenged one another, and we would pray with each other, and if somebody was sick, we would, you know, come and help take care of whatever needs would arise. And it's just family. That is what church family is. So if you're still on the fringes and the outside and you haven't experienced that yet, we just want to encourage you. This is the year, right? 2025, it's a new day. Jump into small groups. Start a small group. We want to be content but not settle. That's number three. Always stay hungry, and it's a fine balance. You don't want to become dissatisfied, right? You want to be content where you're at, but you want to be hungry for more. right? Until we're dead, we want to keep being hungry for more. We want to keep asking God, you know, and keep saying yes to God. Philippians 3:14 tells us to press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. So press on towards the goal with laser focus, stay hungry. And then lastly, Galatians 5:16 tells us, this is where the worship team could come up, all right, tells us, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We need to focus on, like that word, like I feel like we live in a world today that we're easily distracted. And so focus is something that Chris and I really were able to do in our single years, where we just zoned in, like we were like zoomed in, just Jesus, and everything else became blurry. And so we just, again, want to encourage you, no matter where you're at, zoom into Jesus and let everything else go to the wayside. And again, our emotions will lead us astray because they're not grounded in truth. So for all these desired outcomes that we're talking about, you're probably hearing there's an exchange. There's just an exchange that has to be made. Kind of like Chris was saying earlier, in order to open-handedly receive, I have to first let go. I have to lay down something so I can fully take it, take hold of it. So we just want to pray now, really, for our singles and all of us.
Father, we thank you for this season, this opportunity in you to build a stronger foundation, to build, Lord, just a relationship with you that sets the course for the rest of our lives. So, Father, I ask today that you would bless, Lord, those that find themselves single. Lord, whether they long for a relationship or they don't, Lord, I ask that you would just pour out your goodness over the singles in this congregation, Father, that you would give them grace, Father, you would give them courage, you would give them strength, and you, Lord, would be their best friend. You would be their companion, Lord. You, Lord, would take the time, they would take the time just to build relationship together with you. We thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.